I do this for my culture. So welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight we're going to be talking, we've been talking about this issue of school safety, talking about mass shootings. How do we make sure that our schools are prepared for these big things, these unfortunate tragedies that may occur on a school ground? But more importantly, we've also been talking about threat assessment and understanding and getting us to understand the reality of this, that in the day and time where there are so many mass shootings, there are so many school shootings, out being able to identify the threat and to see which threat that comes from a child's mouth is a real threat or is this the threat that just children say. We're continuing the conversation. We want to hear from you, 410-319-8888. I'm going to share with you very quickly before we jump back to the lines just some of the comments from my Facebook page. Neil checked in. Always good to hear from Neil. Nowadays, believe students who threaten violence, period. In the short term, at least, we need both more security and more resources. In the longer term, hopefully we can transition to better resources. Yep. Kids are people. And they have the same issues as adults, mental health, poverty, hunger, etc. Give them the level of resources and security that they deserve. Yeah. Yeah. It's not an either or situation. That's what I'm hearing from you, Neil. Kyrie checked in and says the administration does not step up to the plate. And teachers are sometimes afraid to report or stand up because of backlash that comes with it. Admin are so hung up on, quote unquote, looking good, that they literally sweep concerns under the rug. Hey, that's a real issue. I've heard schools that do that. Unfortunately, it happens. I've heard schools that do that to look good, to make sure that they're not, their school is not considered to be a danger school and all of those things, and they're not really dealing with those things. That is a very dangerous game to play, folks. Let me tell you, if your child's school has done that in the past, you definitely want to bring that to someone's attention, an area director. Somebody needs to know that something like that is actually happening, because that is a very, very dangerous place for a school to be. The last thing you need is a school that's quiet about violence. That's the very last thing. The streets are quiet as it is. The neighbors are quiet. The victims are quiet. Now the school is quiet? Great point, though. Great point. And I think that the flip side of it, though, Kyrie, is that the administrations may not just be afraid. Sometimes they just don't know how to handle that situation. They're not trained on it. They're not skilled in it, right? So my hope is that as the city and other districts around the state are trying to figure out what are the policies and procedures, that teachers and staff and administrators, really everybody that is working in that school outside of the students themselves, should be trained to have the eye, the discerning eye, to be able to tell when a threat is real or when a threat is a legitimate threat for all student safety, or when students are just talking and not really trying to bring something like that into fruition. Irene checked in and said, Harbor City Alternative School. Good point, Irene. Thank you so much for reminding me. That is a school that I remember growing up where all the quote-unquote the bad children went to. You went down to Harbor City Alternative, it was like, so sorry to hear that. Irene also said, our children are stronger in many ways, but weaker when it comes to standing up to bullying. They tend to be more fragile. The whole thing about respect is a very, very big thing. Let's go to Ryan. Thank you for your great patience, Ryan. What's your take on this?
Hi, Faraji. I'm a special educator at in a public school in Baltimore City, Northeast Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
And I think for the plan, the threat assessment, depends on the personal history of the student, disciplinary history, what have you tried before.
Yep.
You know, I have a kid who I have, like, a special educator, you have the emotionally disturbed kids. who, you know, every day they'll say things like, I'm gonna punch the shit out of you. Like, you know, at one point I took it like seriously in the
right.
case of like, SM's office, you know, did all the things I was supposed to, and then I realized like this kid isn't for, you know, like he's not for real about it.
Right.
So depending on like the personal history, what has been tried before, and I know these conversations, it's bad to talk about, like, you know, the gun violence and mental health, but I can't stress how important it is to have like a mental health specialist, like even multiple at your school. Like, we have an SEL, social emotional learning, wholeness specialist, who she's great. She works with these kids really well, you know. If they need to cool down, it was like, oh, go to her, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a great resource. And what the Facebook comment for the Facebook comment on Kyrie about administrators looking out for optics.
Yeah.
So my school is in a really tough spot where last year we had suspended a record amount of African American males, and there's an initiative from North Avenue to reduce that as much as possible. So a kid has to do something really, really bad to get suspended, like actually physically assault a teacher or, you know, light a fire in a lab to get suspended from what's going on in my school right now because of those optics of we don't want to suspend.
You don't want to be the school that suspends a lot of black boys.
Yeah. Like, no school, like, it's a terrible, I understand the optic issue.
Yeah.
But there are things that go on that other schools would warrant, just like suspensions or greater disciplinary procedures that sometimes aren't taken because of those optics. And I know I'm probably running out of time, but as for mass shootings, there's a great Baltimore Sun article in 2018 about some kids at Excel Academy that they're not scared about mass shootings. They're scared about gun violence in their own neighborhoods.
Yeah.
About, you know, daily gun violence. I had a kid who's like, oh, yeah, three people got shot outside my elementary school the other day, like Northwood. And this was like when I first started. But that's like more of a reality than, I guess, like the mass shootings we see in the media.
Right. So does your school, and again, we don't need to know the name or anything, but does your school have a plan or any policies or procedures, or are they kind of waiting for a plan from North Avenue on how to address this issue of threat assessment and shootings and how to make sure, how to, you know, what to watch in certain students?
I'm like new of this year, so I wouldn't be the most aware
of okay.
what they have, but from what I would assume, it would be more so from North Avenue.
Yeah, from North Avenue. Has there been discussion among the staff there at your school about any of this just yet, Ryan?
About what?
About any of this as of yet.
It's just commonly, we have discussed the suspense, like, you know, we have grants for schools with really high suspension rates. So
right.
There's definitely a lot of pressure to keep that really as low as we possibly can, you know, before we exhaust all measures. But
absolutely,
mental health for us is huge.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Ryan, thank you so much for checking in, and thank you for your service as being a special educator within Baltimore City Public Schools. Let's go back to the line. Manny, talk to me. What's your take? 410-319-8888.
Hey, man, sometimes you have to take them. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear, Manny.
Yeah, babe. And sometimes you got to take these kids deep sea diving. You got to take them on the water. Don't drown. Take them on the water. And don't let them catch their breath, man, because, you know, we always talk about emission training, you know, and emission training, you know, it seeks to decrease the frequency of behavior by withholding a reward until the desire of behavior is demonstrated. I can't give you resets if you showed off in class, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, winners make commitments, you know, and losers make promises, man. It's like a turtle. A turtle, you know how you progress? A turtle only going to progress and move until he's going to move. He's only going to make movement until he sticks his neck out. Man, it's something else, man. When you choose your behavior, you choose your consequences, man. You know, they always hollering about they got ADD, whatever they call it, you know. And, you know, it takes a fool to learn that love don't hurt nobody, man. But they need love, man. They need love, man.
So you're saying that it's a behavior assessment, but they also need a just a good old TLC.
Yes. I used to tell my kids, I said, whatever you do, all my kids got their bachelor's and master's degrees, you know? And I always tell them, whatever you do in life, don't embarrass me because you emulate me, you know? My daughters travel around the world. She's a big wheeler, and she's over in Switzerland right now. She majored in journalism, you know? My son, he coaches down in the college football league, you know? He makes good money. You know, man, whatever you do, man, you know, don't embarrass me.
There it is. There it is. Manny, I appreciate you. You just say, whatever you do, don't embarrass me. I hear that. Let's go to Dan from Northeast Baltimore. Dan, what's your take on this?
First off, I'm a first-time caller, man.
Hey, fantastic. Welcome, Dan. Thank you so much.
I appreciate all the knowledge you share every day.
Thank you, brother.
And I think mental health is the issue.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get more mental health experts in all our schools. And that's the first start. The second start is any threat should be taken 100% seriously until proven not valid.
Right.
And then...
But how do you do that, though? You know what I mean? Because you remember when we went to school, Dan, you know, we said things all the time. Man, I do this to you after school, yo.
We did. We definitely did, you know, and... I think today's times, you know, it's a little different of a story. You know what I mean? Because what's going on in the country and the world, you know, and it's slowly trickling down to, you know, to the public schools, and it's slowly but surely making this, you know, that mentality. And it's just, you know, main thing is we just got to, I hate to sound like it, but we got to kind of vet our kids a little bit and let them know that, hey, you know, being emotional, being things is okay, but you can't lash out in any kind of violent way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's real. And also don't just stand around and be a part of the environment where if you see somebody teasing another child, you know what I mean? Don't jump in and be a part of that same group.
Right. You know, I bring this up, and people look at me like I'm crazy. And this seems to be like you know, we got to put down this toxic mentality that we have towards everything, you know, especially young males, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have to realize that, you know, masculinity is a soft thing, you know. It's constantly fluid. And, you know, we got to teach our young kids, man, that, you know, having some kind of emotional balance is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's something that we got, you know, I've been listening to Charlemagne the God a lot recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's speaking a lot of truth into how I think we have to start looking at, you know, our young kids growing up, that, you know, we got to teach these kids this. And, I mean, you know, it's the world, unfortunately, it's the world that has become, you know what I mean?
No, you're right. Hey, Dan, I got to let you go, but you are absolutely right. Charlemagne is a good point, has made some valid points on that subject. The fact of we do have to re-examine what does masculinity look like, especially for these young black brothers. When you out there and you talking to these young brothers, man, I mean, the thing is, And I say this for young men and for young women. Go back to the time-tested principles that our parents were raised on. I know sometimes we get into the space of having old school values, and sometimes folks scrutinize and say, you know, this is 2019. But some of those old school values are very, very time-tested principles that have garnered great success for individuals to live very successful, enriching, stable lives, right? So we can't get so far on this progress train that we lose sight of the fact that there's reason why grandma and grandpa traditionally has been able to hold it all together, to still be able to raise so many children with limited resources, and at the same time teaching us how to be men and women of God-fearing men and women that are stable, that are sane, time-tested principles. So we can't remove that from the conversation when we're talking about teaching our children, especially in this day and time. Those time-tested principles are there, and they work. They absolutely work. And to create an environment by which children can grow and thrive in that. We're getting so far gone now. Oh, it's 2019. These are children, not younger. I mean, these are children. And I don't care if you're even 16 or 17. If you look at your 16 and 17-year-old today, yes, in some ways, yes, they are far advanced. But in other ways, you still got to talk to them like you still got to sit them down. They don't have it all figured out. They do not have it all figured out, folks. Let me ask you this. Did you have it all figured out when you were 16, 17? Because I surely didn't. I know I didn't. I thought I did. But when people sat me down and explained to me how life really goes, I talked to college students in their late teens and early 20s. They don't have it all figured out. So there's a way that we need to kind of still have these important conversations. Let me go to Mr. Williams, who's been holding up very, very patiently. Mr. Williams, thank you so much. What's your take?
All right, Faraji. First of all, you always pick me up right in time because I'm a little late for class. So thank you for picking me up.
Absolutely.
So this is the thing. You talk about threat assessment.
Yeah.
I got four older brothers. There's no more threat assessment you need than ducking them out every day from beating you up. There's no more reality to understanding a threat assessment than trying to figure out your brother's emotions so he don't take it out on you, you being the youngest child.
Yeah.
So my thing is that when I went to school, you talk about this cyberbullying, you talk about other things. I turned that around. I literally made it so that I was the one joking me, so you had nothing bad to talk about me about.
Mm.
I literally made more jokes funnier about myself than you could find to talk to me about. And that's how I made friends in school.
Well, you went to the Kevin Hart school then. That's how.
That was my thing. I was like, I'm not going to make somebody else feel great about putting me down when you can't tell me nothing my friends didn't tell me before I walked out the house. There's no way you're going to make me feel bad about me, and I got to go home to this every day.
Yeah.
Because your brothers are relentless. They are. And the only reason they know is to try to prepare you for the upcoming things that you don't see coming 5-6 years down the road.
Going into college. Hey, Mr. Williams, real quick. But here's the thing, though. Sometimes our siblings can give us they can strike the hardest blow. Right? Our siblings, like our brothers and sisters, in their attempt to prepare us for the real world, quote unquote.
Right.
They can hurt our feelings and cut us down to the point where we see less of ourselves. So even in those relationships, we have to be mindful that as brothers and sisters, your role is not to cut me down. Your role is to support me and to encourage me and to strengthen me, right? Yeah, you can make fun of me because that's what we do. But at the end of the day, it has to come from a place of love instead of a place of trying to
harm.
Exactly.
Right. Right. So let me tell you another thing. You asked about a school earlier.
Yeah.
And the school I'm familiar with is Venable. Venable was that school for us.
Venable. I remember Venable.
Yes. See, that was that school for us. They used
to
add kids and the people with dyslexia and all that other stuff that they didn't diagnose to that school. And they would all get, you know what I'm saying, and they didn't get no kind of treatment, no kind of special, whatever the case may be, education. They didn't send no counselors over there. They was like, put all these children in one school so we can handle their behavior.
Yep.
And that was it. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. But as far as nowadays, threats come from everywhere now. You don't even have to know the person in order to understand them threatening you. They don't have to go to your school. You know what I'm saying? They only have to be in the same city you in.
There it is.
You feel bad about yourself.
There it is.
So you got to be aware how strong.
Yep. Mr. Williams, I'm sorry we cut you off like that, but we definitely got to let you go, but you are absolutely right. My man Sterling checked in on my Facebook page and said, homeschool will change a lot. Teach self-defense, spiritual, mental, and physical defense. Yes. Yes. But you know, Sterling, like I know, that if the parent doesn't have that in their personal lives, they can't share that with their children. If they don't recognize that they have a deficiency in one of those areas, they can't recognize that those deficiencies in their children. So it has to be an each one teach one situation. Let's go back to the line. I'm going to hear from Camille. Camille, thank you for your patience. What's your take on this, ma'am?
Hey, Faraji. My take is I work in the school system.
Okay.
And you touched on a whole bunch of things. But one of the biggest things that you touched on was old school values.
Yeah.
And in today's age, we're taught to put ourselves first. Your new boyfriend, your new girlfriend, or your new job or whatever. And that selfishness doesn't allow you to be a good parent.
Mm.
And then you talk about a threat assessment. To quote my man Biggie, bad boys move in silence. My most dangerous students are not the ones, yeah, hold me back, hold me back. It's those silent ones that are bullied all the time.
Mm.
You never hear about these loud, boisterous kids causing problems. It's the silent ones. I would have never known.
Mm.
The threat assessment, you're never going to know who they are. I've been in rough schools over 15 years. My most dangerous kids are the silent ones. And I always tell my loud, boisterous ones trying to be hard, those are the ones you need to watch out for.
Wow.
They're not going to say anything when they come in there and pop.
So that's a good indicator. I mean, in all of the research that I've seen on this, Camille, the silent ones never really has come up into the discussion, but I think you definitely have a point. I can remember sitting in the class with a couple of those guys.
Right, and those are the ones that they don't say anything.
No.
But those are the ones that will pop off and you won't even realize. Like,
yeah.
Dang. But as I said, I work in these schools, and a lot of these kids who are looking for that attention, I mean, I can tell you how many kids, their parents can't pick their sexuality from one year to another.
Wow.
All they want to do is please themselves and not take care of their kids.
So are schools really ready? I mean, are you having these conversations in your schools as this larger system tries to figure out, you know, what this looks like? Are these conversations happening?
We have these conversations and we bring in so many outside service providers to provide wraparound services.
Yeah.
But it's not enough because you have this anybody born, I hate to say it, after 1981, they only worry about themselves. And all of
wow.
these parents that had all of these kids, because you were born in the 70s, we had no bike helmets. We rolled in cars with no car seats, windows rolled up and people smoking. So we're resilient. Everybody after 81, everybody got a trophy. Everybody was treated the same. There was no first, second, or third. Everybody was expected to get something.
Mm.
So these whole generation have this entitlement, and they're selfish, and they don't raise their kids. I see it every day. Why is your happiness take precedence over your child? And that's what always frustrates me, because so many of my students are left behind. And the parents will have five or six kids. Why is your oldest child raising your four younger kids? They didn't choose to have that baby. You did. And those children become resentful and angry and take it out on the teachers and other students because
wow.
of bad adult decisions. And this is what you see time and time again in all urban districts. Selfish parents who are looking out for themselves and not caring for the kids. Kids didn't ask to be here. And I tell anybody, some teachers, you're not built for this. People aren't built for this. I've done it for 15 years. I do it, and I do it well. But you have to understand, a lot of these kids are reacting to situations they did not choose and still don't have a say in. So when they come to school, that's the only choice they have. They don't have any other choices in their life. They take it out on us. And you just got to love them, understand, but also make them understand. At the end of the day, when you're over 13, you can be charged as an adult. We don't care about your home life. So put those metal bracelets on you.
Wow,
that's what you got to impart on them.
Wow, Camille, thank you so much for having a final word on that. Man, oh man. Camille made me think about the fight for power, folks. Because guess what? It is a power struggle within our children and us as adults. There is a power struggle. I have a power struggle with my son every day at 6 years old. Like, dude, you go against what I say every day. This power struggle is real. My goodness. Well, we will have to see what this threat assessment and this larger plan from the school district will look like, how it will be implemented. More importantly, how will schools start to put it into place to at least get the ball rolling, get people talking, get the teachers more trained and prepared for this generation. I think what Camille said is right on point, that there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of resentment, there's a lot of angst, and these young folks that we have in the schools just are looking for power, they're looking for a way to express themselves. They're looking for some guidance as well. So we got to be there to be the support when they feel like they have no other place to go. Look, folks, we got to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears, talk about Hip Hop is Green and how they're doing their part to take over the health and wellness of Baltimore housing. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture here on WEAA.
I do this for my culture.
For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in for the final few minutes of tonight's show. And I am very excited about what we're going to talk about next, folks, because it's about food. I love talking about food. Yes, I am a major foodie, big time foodie. I am a vegan. And I will say that being a vegan is all about food. Yes, I'm excited. So tonight we're going to have a conversation because there is an opportunity where you can decide that you can go out and taste some free plant-based soul food. What? I'm telling you, folks, you can taste this for free. That's right. You could join us for the official Hip Hop is Green dinner that's going to be hosted by the Housing Authority of Baltimore City. It's going to be happening Saturday, October the 12th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Pleasant View Gardens Community Center right there at 201 Asquith Street. Here to give us some more insight about this major, monumental, soul-staring, absolutely good event is the Senior Vice President of the Office of Resident Services at the Housing Authority of Baltimore City, Tracy Oliver Kaiser. Tracy, thank you so much for checking in and being on For the Culture tonight. How are you?
I'm great, Faraji. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, Tracy. Are you a foodie, Tracy?
I am a foodie.
You are a foodie.
I am.
So is that why you decided to host this event?
Yeah, that's partly the reason why. The other reason, of course, is that being a director of the Office of Resident Services, we want to make sure that we're not just promoting other support services for our residents, but we want them to be healthy. And so we know that healthy food and healthy lifestyles comes in a variety of ways. And so we wanted to be able to offer vegan options for that and let folks know that they can that this is an option they can take part in, even if you are a foodie and you typically like to partake in meat-based substances. If you want to give vegan food a try, it can still be soulful and good. And it's also an opportunity for folks to come out and fellowship and get back to doing things like communal dinners and community fellowship. So
this is going to be fantastic.
We're doing it too.
This is fantastic because one is plant-based food. Two is, it's plant-based food. Three is really good plant-based food. And then four, it's free.
It is free.
It is free.
It is free. It is free. It's going to be at the Pleasant View Gardens Community Center, and that's on Asquith Street, as you noted earlier. And it's right in the center of the city. So the Housing Authority has properties and residents all over the city. So this is a central location where folks can come out. It is absolutely free. The only entrance requirement is that adults bring a child, right? So we
you could just pick up any random child, Tracy? Any random child off the street? A squeegee boy or something.
Who would prefer that you know the child?
Your favorite squeegee boy. Come here, squeegee boy.
We would prefer that you know the child. But bring a child and come on out and have a community style dinner, learn some things, learn the ways of plant-based food, and really try something. Sometimes we don't think we like it because we haven't been exposed to it. So this is an opportunity to not just be exposed to vegan food, to be exposed to some of the most delicious vegan soul food you've Lord, ever tasted.
First thing, let me tell you something right now. Today is Wednesday. I'm already hungry for Saturday. Let me just tell you right now, Tracy, very quickly, there are a couple of components of this, because one, it is providing residents, like you said, an alternative to their food. A lot of times, and I'm sure as you know, as you work in a housing authority, there is a much, much, much bigger conversation about food disparity, especially within the Black community, and even more so within those who live within these housing communities, whether it's Perkins or whatever the housing community that you may live in. What is the housing authority planning to do, or what is the ideas that the housing authority have to bring some level of reconciliation to this disparity that we see so many of our, you know, low income to middle income community members having?
So we have to start the conversation somewhere, right?
And right.
So we know that many of our inner cities, so Baltimore is not alone, but many of our inner city and urban communities are suffering from food instability.
Yep.
So there's not just lack of access, but also lack of equity. And in that, I mean that, yes, you have a place to go get food, but how good is the food, right? And so that is a deeper conversation, but it's got to start somewhere. And so it's got to start by bringing people together around food and talking about the sources of food and healthy food and getting people to understand the benefits of healthy food. And so the reason why we wanted to start this conversation with Hip Hop is Green is because the founder of this, Keith Tucker, this is really a way for him to have a conversation in a cultural setting with folks, right? So we're not just going to have food and just come in and you eat. There's going to be an education around this. We're going to talk about the source of the food, why it's healthy, that it's local food, that it's a local vendor, where you can get it, what the health benefits of eating a plant-based diet is,
yeah.
And even introduce people. Some people don't know that you can actually thrive and survive and be healthy on a plant-based diet.
Absolutely.
So we're trying to start that conversation. It's got to start somewhere. So we're going to start it over food, fellowship together, get an education, and also be entertained. So we're going to eat, hear some great hip-hop music, and start a conversation about food. Healthy, good plant-based food is where we're starting.
Now, you will have some great music that's going to be provided by Ciroc.
Absolutely. I don't know if you saw the promo video that we've got on our social media page, but this young lady is fire, so I can't wait.
Absolutely. Now, I think the conversation, first, I think having, Tracy, I think it's absolutely brilliant that you're going to have a conversation about food while you're inviting people to dinner,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I think that oftentimes, and I know as a vegan, at first I was a vegetarian for many years, and then I switched my diet over to veganism. People often ask me, it was like, what do you eat? And I just, you know, they think that you just eat berries and leaves all day, right?
Right.
You look healthy for Raji, but are the berries? So I think to have some conversation around plant-based diet. The other thing I think, Tracy, is that people really, if you see, and I just had a conversation with my son about this, because he was talking about daddy, you know, being allergic to something, and how he was told by another one of his classmates that if you're allergic to something, that you should just keep trying to eat that thing or put that thing onto your body until your body becomes immune. And I told him that that's not the best mindset to have when you're allergic, because you should listen to your body. That if your body is telling you, no, I am not able to digest that or process that, then you should listen to your body and not continue to consume that. And I think that that's part of the conversation that needs to be had, Tracy, because we know our body. Like some people might say, yeah, when I eat ice cream, when I drink milk, you know what I'm saying? I feel a certain way. I'm running to the bathroom. And that's your body telling you that maybe you might not just be lactose intolerant, but maybe the milk is not good for you. You can't process. You can't digest it. And so, but we get into the space of like, but I love it. And that's understandable. That's totally right, understandable. Right. But at the end of the day, that if your body is telling you or it's not reacting in a normal manner to something that you may be eating or consuming on a regular basis, whether it's bread or dairy or some whatever it is, that you should take the time to listen to your body and, more importantly, figure out what is the best diet that's good for me. Not necessarily good because it was the rest of my family used to eat like this and my grandmother lived to this time. But what is the best diet? What's the best food options good for me?
That's absolutely right, Faraji. And I think that that's one of the reasons to bring that home. Is that's why we wanted to make sure that our young people were involved with this.
Sure.
And so, you know, the older we get, the more we have to try to overcome. So our young folks, they haven't done as much damage and not listening to their body yet, okay, mm-hmm. as we have. So when you're introducing a plant-based diet to folks, to young people, now their palate has been engaged.
Yep. Right?
So they're not 25 and 30 years old going, oh yeah, I don't eat kale. Right, I don't eat kale. I don't like it.
Right.
So they're now being introduced to kale, in a way that is soulful, is seasoned well.
Yes.
You know, there's not this implicit bias about kale being, as you said earlier, rabbit food.
Right.
And that's just something that other folks do and whatnot. So I think the introducing that education and that food. And engaging their palate in a nice, relaxing atmosphere, they can make that connection between a good diet or a healthy diet, their lifestyle, and their health. And I think that's the reason why we want to make sure that, yes, we want our, it's never too old to learn. We want our
adults right.
and our mature folks to come, but we want you to bring, a young person so they're more exposed. And what I'm hoping is that folks will, I know you said just grab a squeegee boy or a kid off the street, but we're hoping that you will bring your own kid because then
absolutely.
This is to start a conversation in your own house around dinner time, around how to prepare food, about making sure that your plate is a little bit more green than it is anything else, and having that conversation. And so what the founder of Hip Hop is Green is going to do is he's going to blend that perfect mix of education and entertainment so that our young folks can really make that connection.
410-319-8888, folks. If you have some questions for Ms. Tracy Oliver Kaiser, who serves as the Senior Vice President of the Office of Resident Services at the Housing Authority of Baltimore City, as Tracy is talking about the official Hip Hop is Green dinner that's going to be happening this Saturday from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Pleasant View Gardens Community Center right there at 201 Asquith Street. This is a free plant-based dinner, folks. All your admission is required is just bringing a child. If you have two or three children, come on down. Come on down to Pleasant View Gardens Community Center and come on out to enjoy some of the, let me tell you something. Let me just tell you, because I know the food is going to be good because of who was involved in this whole process. So you got Hip Hop is Green. They're going to be there. Of course, the wonderful people of the Black Vegetarian Society of Maryland, that none other than Sister Naja Wright and Brother Greg Wright of Land of Kush. They're going to be on hand. And you have so many other sponsors that are going to make sure that this dinner is absolutely phenomenal. But more importantly, to get us talking about best alternatives for our health and wellness around food, the discussion and conversation about food. So this is a great opportunity to have that discussion, to have a great meal, to connect with people that can help us into understanding the importance and value of how to eat to live. And then at the same time, being in a community setting for our children and our family. Tracy, we got a couple of folks that want to check in because they got some questions about this opportunity, this initiative. Okay. Let's hear from Bo White. Bo, thank you so much for checking in from D.C. What's your take?
Yeah, this is absolutely great. You know, one of the biggest resources is the church. However, the church seems to misguide us because you have all these kitchens that are located in the churches, but they don't even practice a kosher diet at all. They serve a lot of ham, a lot of fat back. I hate going to those places to try to eat. Well, they go so far as to have these so-called fundraiser dinners, and the food is, in my opinion, is horrible. Yet and still, they talk about Leviticus and stuff, but they don't seem to really go with the format. And so I think that you have a good movement. However, maybe you need to re-educate some of these leaders in the religious community where you have, like I say, once again, you have all these kitchens right there, nonprofits.
Yeah.
You should get them to, hey, come, you want to get more young people participating in church? Because, you know, religion is more of a social activity as well as giving you some type of structure. But,
Yeah. You
know, when you're constantly going out to pay for lunch and for dinner, and, you know, and people seem to rely on these fast food places. You see how these people act about the so-called Popeyes food. I mean, these people, like, really rely on it. And a lot of people no longer know how to cook anymore.
Well, you know what? And Bo, let me just say this very quickly, that the green diet that we see emerging right now is a major trend. Here's the thing, though. There's a marketplace for that, right?
But you know,
go ahead, brother.
One of the biggest marketplaces is that you basically can do your diet on your blood type, and that's been scientifically proven.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times when people go to their doctors, they don't even ask what their blood type is.
That's a good question. That's a good point.
Questions at all.
Good point.
And a lot of that is based on blood type. But like I say, we have a network here, and I'll end with this, and you know, further on with the discussion with other people. But I think one of the biggest networks is all these tabernacles that are in our communities, and all of them have kitchens. But how are they really being used? And get some of these leaders to educate them on how to perhaps approach their community, because that's one of the main reasons why I really don't like going to those places, because, I mean, it's just the food selection.
Let me throw out there one name. This is Bo for you for reference. As you're talking about the churches, one brother that I know that has been on this mission, which is food stability and making sure that we're eating the best quality food. My brother, Reverend Heber Brown III, a Pleasant Hope Baptist Church right there in Northeast Baltimore. He is a valuable, he is a phenomenal resource for food security, as he's literally working within the church network all across the region and across this country, to have the churches to invest in their own urban farms and gardens, as well as teaching them how to eat to live. So big shout out to Reverend Heber Brown III. That's my guy. We've known each other for many, many years. But I know that he and many others that he is working with can give churches the direction they need to go. Because you, like you said, Bo, it's something that is not consistent with the message, but more importantly, it requires us to get out of our old thinking and our old ways about food. Because food consumption is not just about taste. It's also about attitudes. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest challenges. People, we can walk away from any food because we do it all the time when we taste something that's bad. But the attitude around food is the biggest hurdle that we got to get over. Bo, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for checking in. Tracy, and that brings me to my next question for you, Tracy, around supporting those who are working in those efforts like a Heber Brown and other urban gardeners and farms. Is the Housing Authority planning or it has a plan to work with those individuals to support them, to give them whatever space or resources that they need, as far as you know at this point, around this issue?
I can't say we're going to support them by giving them space, but I can say this, is that while we're involved with a lot of development across the city, some great things, and we talk about housing, we have recognized as a housing authority that we can't talk about redevelopment in our communities without addressing the issue of access and equity to food. Okay, so we are getting ready to actually launch a food policy for the Housing Authority of Baltimore City, and we're going to involve residents from all over the city to participate in those conversations so that as a housing authority, we can actually have a food policy. So we're going to ask the residents to, and we'll be sharing more information about that later in the year. But it is going to be launched before the end of 2019 to talk about what we need in our communities regarding access and equity with food. Because folks need to understand that food affects everything we do. When your children don't have a good breakfast in the morning, it impacts how they start their day at school.
Absolutely.
If they are not fed properly at lunch or during test time, it has been proven that it impacts the outcome of their thinking.
Yep.
Right? Even us, I don't know about you, Faraji, but I've been sitting in meetings where I go from meeting to meeting and
yep.
I miss lunch.
Yep.
And somewhere around someone's third sentence, I check out, right?
That's the symptoms of being hangry.
Exactly. I'm tapped into number one. I hope I don't get embarrassed by my stomach growling. Right? Your cognitive ability is just not as sharp as
right.
it could be. So
right.
we know. I mean, it's been proven. This is not something that we need to reinvent the wheel around. We know that food impacts us. It is meant to nurture and sustain us. And so we need to make sure that it is given the attention that we know it deserves. And so whereas we may not be able to provide actual space and land for folks like Pastor Brown to do, which by the way I'm a big fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
What we can say is that this is the first time the Housing Authority in its existence has done something like this. And so when you're out there being the first to do something, all you can hope for is that it would inspire folks to take it even further. So this is the first. It is a conversation. We hope that some of the local churches that are in East Baltimore will just come out and take a peek, because we do expect that room is going to be packed with young people, maybe for their first time, eating a plant-based meal and
yep.
enjoying it.
And the other science about this food is that it will keep you at peace.
Yes.
Like you're not going to be as aggressive. Folks, you know, I mean, we got to talk about that science. There's a science to food, and the more meat that we eat, the much more aggressive that we become, some say. That's what some believe. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I'm not as aggressive. I'm not an angry black man, Tracy, when I go into certain spaces. Hey, but like for a name like Faraji Muhammad, you're awfully calm. But
and it also energizes us.
It does energize you. It does energize. Because it's good for the
risers, and yep. then we keep going. There's a time in the day where we hit the wall, especially if you have a big, filling, heavy, grease-filled lunch, right?
Yep.
So somewhere around 3 o'clock, you're not being productive.
No. The itis kicks in.
Exactly. Itis kicks in. You're ready for that. You're doing all you can to keep your eyelids open, right?
Right.
But with a plant-based diet, with food that you know that's live food, right? Live food. It continues to fill you and give you energy, and then you don't feel sluggish and you don't feel bloated. And so we're hoping to talk about all of this with our young people. We need to start them out early. We're getting ready to be into a season where we do a lot of eating.
Yep.
Right? It's getting chilly outside. We're not outside, and we're
yep.
not as active. We're going to be a little bit more sedentary in our lifestyles. And so this is the time of the year where people typically overeat and pick up weight.
That is. I don't know about you, Tracy, but this Saturday is going to be my like vegan Thanksgiving.
Okay, all right.
I'm serious. I plan to get a couple of plates. You be like, is that for Roger? Mm-hmm, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Tracy, thank you so much again. Now here's the great thing. We got to put this out there. Dre, hold on up. Just turn the music down. I want to make this announcement because Tracy, we got to make sure that this happens.
Okay.
We're trying to get the place. The capacity is 300 seats.
Yes, 300 seats.
So right now, you still got some open seats left.
Yes, we do.
So we gotta pack the house, folks, because we want the Housing Authority to recognize and to understand how valuable that this is, especially for our families in the housing communities, that this is what is needed and this is what is necessary. So we have to do our part to pack the house to be there on Saturday. I mean, you can't go wrong. We're, it's free food, folks. It's free food. Provided by the Housing Authority, Black Vegetarian Society of Maryland. Hip Hop is Green, the vegan brand Corn. They got so many people that are a part of this. Like, you can't go wrong with this. You can't go wrong. So, Tracy, how can people get, do they need to sign up? What do they need to participate?
We want to do a head count, right?
Right.
We want to make sure that everybody that shows up can be served. We don't really want to turn people away from this great opportunity. So I'm going to give out the number to our office where you can actually call, and we can start to get our head count. And that number is 410-396-2967. Again,
yep.
That's 410-396-2967. I promise you somebody will answer the phone.
Yep.
We just need the name of the adult and how many carloads of kids you bring in.
There it is. There it is. All right, put me down for four.
Okay, I got you.
There we go. All right. One of them can eat everything and the other ones, well, she's just going to be there for the festivities. Tracy Oliver Kaiser, Senior Vice President of the Office of Resident Services at the Housing Authority of Baltimore City. Tracy, thank you so much. And we got to bring you back on to talk about the next step of this initiative that the Housing Authority is having.
Oh, I would absolutely love to come back on. And thank you for having me, Faraji. And I hope I see you on Saturday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And a big shout out again to Hip Hop is Green, Black Vegetarian Society of Maryland, with my good family from Land of Kush, Naja and Greg Wright, and so many others who have made that's going to make Saturday absolutely historic. Folks, you don't want to miss out on this opportunity, so make sure you give that number a call at 410-396-2967. All right, that's going to do it for me. I want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of the conversation, both online and on air. Make sure you continue the conversation. Follow me on all of my social media platforms at Faraji Muhammad, FarajiMuhammad. Make sure you follow me. Also, make sure you check us out at our WEAA.org, where you can get all of the latest and the greatest shows of For the Culture, as well as Today with Dr. K. And plus, along with some news, some information, everything that you want to know about what's happening in Baltimore and all around, you can find it at WEAA.org. Stay tuned. Up next is In the Groove with my big sister, LaDawn Black, giving you that cool jazz for your hump day evening. So stick around for that. Tomorrow, we got to have a conversation about the latest developments in Pimlico. We'll check in with Reverend Eric Lee about that, and also talk about the 24th anniversary of the Million Man March is coming up soon. And we will be having a discussion around that as well. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right, while being yourself in the process. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow for another exciting edition of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. And remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.